This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Ever hear of a double harmonics guitar, or a silverfish, or a tapeworm? Well, the latter two are particularly disgusting members of the animal kingdom, but they are also instruments and creations of the sound artist Jeff Fetterson. In fact, you're listening to the silverfish right now. Jeff Fetterson is a New York-based artist, musician, and engineer who has exhibited work in art galleries throughout the world and developed hardware for NASA. He joins me to talk about his latest creation called EarthSpeaker. It was just unveiled at iBeam Gallery in Chelsea, described as a series of large-scale, autonomous, solar-powered sound sculptures. It incorporates solar energy and sounds from the Earth's magnetosphere. Impressive stuff, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. Tell us what EarthSpeaker is and how it works.
Sure. EarthSpeaker is a solar-powered nocturnal set of sculptures. They're designed to be installed outdoors in this place called the Wave Farm, which is a new sort of acoustic sculpture garden that's opening in Acre, New York. And these things at iBeam are the prototype bodies of those of this whole sort of system. So they'll ultimately be about six of them installed throughout the grounds of this area in upstate New York, this sort of wooded, hilly area. And they will charge up during the day. And with what energy they gather during the day from small solar panels, they will at night, at dusk, tune in to what's called very low frequency radio. These sort of, as you mentioned, the sounds of the magnetosphere.
So yeah. These are like whistlers and blue sprites and all that kind of stuff?
That's right.
The things that astronauts talk about passing through on their way to outer space.
Yeah, it turns out that if you can get far enough away from the man-made electrical interference, mainly of the power grid, this sort of 60-cycle hum that you're familiar with if you plug in a guitar cord into an amp, then you can tune into these sounds that are all around us and are, as it turns out, I think primarily caused by lightning on Earth. So you hear sort of kind of a baseline static and crackle that is literally lightning strikes from around the planet. Everywhere on the Earth is sort of causing the noises that you're hearing. And then at night, as you tune in, some other phenomena start to come out. These sort of, as you mentioned, the whistles, so they start to ping. They start to have a little bit of a tone to them. And then there's rising and falling tones in the background that are also other sort of phenomena.
Okay. So you brought with you an example of a whistler. What is a whistler?
That is one of the sort of the classes of this whole thing, so it's spherics, atmospherics. So you'll hear, I think in this example, some of the pinging tones and the rising and falling tones.
Okay. So this is actually a disturbance of some form. It's the movement of air in the magnetosphere. Is there air that high up? I guess there must be.
I suppose there might be some atmosphere, but this is all in the radio spectrum.
I see.
So just like FM and AM, except it's very low frequency, meaning it's unmodulated directly in the audio spectrum of 0 to 20 kilohertz.
Okay. So that's the whistler, and you could actually hear it almost sounds like there's a bird in there whistling at some point. So that's one of the sounds that these sculptures of yours will emit in the evening after they've been charged by the sun during the day.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Let's hear another of the clips that Jeff Fetterson will be using with his sonic sculpture called EarthSpeaker. All right, now this is called AKR. What is AKR?
AKR is, again, one of these phenomena. I think these are all the samples that we're using, that we're hearing. I think yours as well as mine are from Stephen McNairy's website, Space Weather. So people can go in there and find all sorts of files of these examples.
And in that clip, again, that's something that you would pick up through a very low frequency radio.
We're keeping our fingers crossed. The next step on this is to, as I said, you can't listen to it here. So the technology for it is not sophisticated. It's actually simpler than a radio receiver in some ways. It's just an antenna that you hang out and you amplify. But if you did that here, you would hear only the hum. So the next step that happens in the beginning of August is to go up and explore the grounds of Acre, New York, and see if we are able to pull these in. It looks like we will be able to.
So you got to be far enough away. You have to be far enough off the grid to be able to get. It's sort of like being what they call the light pollution of urban areas.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
where it's hard to see the dimmer stars because of the ambient light in a city.
And it's interesting to me that potentially this project, as it gets installed, is meant to be very long term. Could document the sort of increasing urbanification of that area. So if it's far away from it now, it might not be in 10 years or 15 years.
Now, was that one of the ideas behind doing this in the first place, or is it a commentary on renewable energy sources, or is it just more fun with electronics?
I think the last point is probably the main driver. I like to pretend that it's other more serious things as well. But one of the challenges in thinking of something that's installed for potentially, you know, tens of years, or, you know, I'd like to imagine that it's going to last, you know, as long as I will, is to think what sort of sounds could you make that would be meaningful over that time scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so it eventually seemed like the best thing to do is to step away almost entirely and just let nature sort of speak for itself.
All right. So as you mentioned, it's meant to be permanently installed at this Wave Farm, mm-hmm. this outdoor kind of sculpture garden in Accra, New York, up by the Woodstock area. But for the moment, it's at iBeam Studio on 21st Street between 10th and 11th. So what is that? Is that just kind of a mock-up of what you think and hope the final project will sound and look like?
The installation iBeam is of the functional prototypes for this. So there's both a sculptural sort of aesthetic element of it, the same with the sound, but also a functional layer that has to of technology that has to work. So it has to have the, you know, the solar power, the power storage in a way that's actually not battery-based, that can last for, you know, potentially 10 or 20 years. As well as the very high efficiency amplification, because I don't want to have to take in a lot of power to get a little bit of sound out. I want to make that as efficient as possible. And then the sculpture itself, which is essentially a version of a horn. It's a speakers mounted on a horn, just like you know, the phonograph originally had a large horn. It's a very efficient way to get a small sound at the input to become a large sound at the output. So these are essentially a space material constrained version of a very, very large horn.
Now, are you coming at this from the approach of a computer scientist or an engineer or a sculptor or as a musician?
I hope to combine all of those elements, probably least of all the computer science. I mean, like I said, I'd like to just step away from this, make the technology functional, and then let nature fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
But the visual component of it as a sculpture is important. You know, if this is going to be installed in a way that is permanent and people visit it, I want it to be apparent that it's, you know, an artifact that's harmonious with the environment.
Right. And if it's during the day and it's not producing sound, it's still collecting power, it needs to be something to look at.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. But at evening, the music does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And how much control have you had, do you want to have, over the sound of this thing?
I really couldn't think of anything that I could, say, program into it. Let's say there were electronics that generated some sound that, in my mind, would bear up to being repeated over and over and over again every night. So, as I say, the more I can remove myself from the picture, I think the better off the project is.
So there's no real composition here other than, you know, in a very John Cageian kind of way, where any kind of organized sound becomes composition. You've organized the sound, the collection process of the energy,
mm-hmm.
and you've organized the kind of sampled or the stored sounds that will come out in the evening.
That's exactly right.
And then okay.
Potentially, by positioning these about this large environment, you could make sort of a spatial composition, if you would, you know, mm-hmm. as these project their sound into this space.
My guest is Jeff Fetterson. His sonic sculpture is called Earth Speaker. It's at the prototype is at the iBeam Studio in Chelsea through July 15th, and then the plan is for it to be permanently set at Wave Farm upstate. I'm guessing, Jeff, you don't make a living out of this.
Well, it's funny you mention that. I just left a permanent position, as you mentioned, the NASA robotics.
Mm-hmm.
So that ended about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Cool.
And I do some sustainable energy consulting primarily now, in addition to these sorts of projects.
Okay. Honeybee Robotics is this company that did a lot of work for NASA for the Mars mission.
That's right. That's right.
Were you guys at all involved in the current Discovery, the shuttle mission?
No. They tend to stay away from any of the shuttle stuff and focus specifically on the robotic-only systems. But there's a Phoenix mission coming up that they will have some hardware on. Okay. Also to Mars.
Well, now, you are also a member of LEMUR, mm-hmm. which is the League of Electronic Musical Urban Robots, a
group
that's been around for a surprisingly long time. What is an electronic musical urban robot?
Well, I can't speak to the urban part of it, but LEMUR, generally defined, is a set of things that make noise and are driven by computers, but that exist in the real world. It's not computer music per se, but it's computer-driven acoustic music.
Mm-hmm.
And I've created a few installations for that group. One of them, Forest Spot, actually just got back from a show in Milan. The crate just arrived at iBeam last week, so that was a fun chance to go install that in a space just north of the city of Milan.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one hand, a sculpture, just as EarthSpeaker has a sculptural element to it, but it also has a sound element to it. These very, very tall robotic sculptures move tiny sounds around through the space, tiny acoustic rattles. They're excited by motions at the base of the robot and then essentially swarm around in a large sphere.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that sounds mighty perplexing if you stumble into
sure.
it.
Yeah.
Tell me about the double harmonics guitar, which I'm having a hard time picturing in my mind's eye. I'm told it's a guitar with a single neck, but with two bodies?
That's Glenn Branca's harmonics guitar, and that was the inspiration for this this piece. You're hearing it now.
Uh-huh.
The double harmonics guitar extends the principle that Glenn Branca has used, to make an instrument for two people. So that in this recording that you're hearing, I'm performing with the Japanese artist Tetsu Kondo, and the guitar is divided up into three sections. The middle section is amplified but not played, and the outer two sections are played, transferring harmonics across the two bridges into the amplified section.
Wow, so this must be a pretty long instrument.
It's over 9 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
The latest version is fabricated all of it aluminum, and we took it to Beijing. It folds up into two cases you can take onto a plane.
All right, so it's a functional instrument, but must have kind of a visual, almost sculptural quality as well.
I hope so.
All right. This is some music from my guest Jeff Fetterson from his double harmonics guitar. The double harmonics guitar, an instrument that is, Jeff, you said it's like 9 feet or more long.
That's right.
My understanding is that the physics of how a string produces sound changes at a certain point, that so-called long string instruments, you get different sort of waveforms from a conventional guitar or piano.
If the string were long enough, you'd have, I think, what's called a compression wave as opposed to a longitudinal wave. That's not the case in this instrument. It's not, since they're divided up into three sections, no one section is quite long enough to make use of that phenomenon.
I see. So why do this? Is there something, you know, beyond the sound of conventional instruments that you just, you know, felt you weren't hearing? And do you expect these instruments to be played by other people?
I have worked in the past with a small group of musicians to play these instruments. So to sort of throw them in the hands of people and see what happens. I find just my personal motivation is less towards composition, towards sitting down with a blank piece of paper and creating a set of instructions for music as much as working with my hands on a direct physical object and letting the constraints of that thing then inform the music that sort of arises spontaneously out of an improv situation or a live performance.
So virtually every instrument, you know, suggests certain kinds of music that it likes to play. That's been throughout our history.
That's exactly right.
So you create the instrument and then you kind of ask it, well, what do you want to play?
Right. In the case of the harmonics guitar, there's a just intonation scale built into it by the very way that it's designed. So that selects the tones that you can work with if you're using that instrument.
Now, despite all of this, you were in a band
mm-hmm.
called Zoftig.
Mm-hmm.
And we can hear some of that music. Was this kind of a way station along the on this path to sonic sculptures?
Well, where did you find this?
We have goodness. Our means.
Yeah. You guys dig deep here. Oh boy, this is from a performance in I think 1999 in Minneapolis. There was a series of live events called Future Perfects.
Yeah,
and we did those. In fact, the second show that we did was one of these, and no one had ever played any of the instruments before other than myself, who had done the first show.
Well, let's hear a little bit of how it turned out. The band is Zoftig. My guest is Jeff Feddersen. His sonic sculpture, Earth Speaker, solar-powered and using the sounds of the magnetosphere, is at the iBeam Studio through July 15th. Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
In a moment, Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, one of the opera world's most courageous voices, died this past Monday. We'll pay tribute, revisiting a conversation with her. You're listening to Soundcheck.
How old were you?